Candela. What's happening, Miami? What's happening? It is February the 1st, 2021. And yes, January is gone. We are now in February, and this is going to be an interesting month. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we have an amazing show for you. We have an interview with a great guest and friend now, Mr. Craig Tortolani, who's better known as Crypto Craig. I went out to the Bitcoin Mansion in North Miami. I met up with Craig. In fact, I think we're gonna switch over and we're gonna do a little Bitcoin background there, yeah, for you guys. All right, so we met with Craig and some super cool guys I met out there, and you know, I spent a little time with them, and basically, these guys are involved in crypto all day, all night. Met a guy that's like an actual coding. He does actual coding for Ethereum. Some other guys that, you know, work with TikTok and other different, it's just all computer-based stuff. And then, but, you know, they're all involved in cryptocurrencies and stuff. I met a guy who's a you know, big-time guy down here, Nick Spanos, who's a big-time crypto guy down in Miami. And, you know, but my most important, the most important thing that I was doing there is I was going to interview Craig, and I wanted to bring you guys some information. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. There's a lot of stuff going on in the financial sector right now with GameStop, AMC, the whole hedge fund thing, the squeeze plays. There's just so much activity in the financial sector that I the whole reason, the whole thing behind Radio Red Pill is I want to bring you guys stuff that's current, stuff that's relatable. And if you guys haven't been following the financial sector and everything that's going on in finances, I mean, you need to, because there's a lot of stuff happening, and you know, it's very interesting. So crypto, I was involved in crypto a while back ago, and obviously it took a dive. There was a lot of stuff happening back then where it wasn't an accepted currency. Nobody really knew what it was. I mean, people that knew about crypto knew what it was, but and general knowledge wasn't, people didn't trust it. People, you couldn't really convert it to money. There was no ATMs that would accept crypto. It wasn't just a mainstream thing. So times passed and things are changing, you know, and, you know, my promise and my goal has always been to, you know, bring good content, obviously politically charged. And we want to talk about conservative values, but there's a lot of stuff happening. Like I said, in the financial sector, the money, the dollar is being devalued. It's losing strength. It's obviously the administration is not helping that at all. You know, we're not as strong as we were, and it's going down. And what's happening is cryptocurrency is actually on the rise. There's more stability, and it's obviously with these lack of faith on the US dollar. What's happening is crypto starting to move up. And I mean, when you got guys like Elon Musk tweeting things like in retrospect, it was inevitable. And then he adds the Bitcoin moniker to his profile on Twitter. I mean, you know, something's going on. So, you know, anyway, we're going to get into the crypto thing, but I do have to talk a little bit of politics. You know, my monologue is going to be short today, but you guys, you know, it's February, it's Black History Month, and I want to get to our guest, but I want to remind you guys that it's the first day of Black History Month, and, you know, we are going to celebrate it just like everybody else. It's something that's important. You know, Black culture is a part of American culture, and that's something that we should celebrate, definitely, and I'm a history buff. So I'll tell you that many people consider the father of the whole Black History Month thing a historian named Carter Woodson. He founded an association for the study of Negro life along with a minister named Jesse E. Moreland. This was in 1915. Anyway, they chose the second week of February for something called Negro History Week, and it was to coincide with the birthdays of both Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. So this was, I don't know, half a century after the 13th Amendment, which abolished all slavery in the United States, which you guys know from one of my prior previous shows. But it's interesting for me to note that the 13th Amendment was actually spearheaded by a guy named Abraham Lincoln, who was a Republican. And then Black History Month, which was a century later, was then recognized officially by another Republican in 1976, a guy named Gerald Ford. So, you know, I just find it interesting how throughout the history of the United States, all the greatest victories for the Black community have been with Republicans in office. And, you know, we know today, for example, from blackdemographics.com, that only 6% of Blacks are Republicans. It's just amazing to me. I mean, you would think that with all the verifiable and undoubtable information that's out there in the history of how the Democratic Party has taken advantage of the Black community for years, it would be the exact opposite, right? Like, you would think that that Blacks would gravitate towards a Republican Party that has always been on the side of equality and justice and all people, just like I always say, all lives matter. Black lives matter because Blacks are part of all. Like, we're all human. So it's weird to me how there has to be a some kind of distinction between your skin color for your life to matter. It that doesn't make any sense to me. You're either human or you're not. If you're a human, your life matters. It doesn't matter what color you are. You could be purple human. Very interesting. Life matters. Okay. So anyway, I just think it's funny. And one of the things that I think is funny is since it's the exact opposite of what it makes sense of what would make sense, right? Due to the history. If you don't think that it was the mainstream media, which I keep telling you guys is the real enemy here, if you don't think it was the mainstream media that created that kind of misinformation and that has helped basically to dupe Americans into somehow thinking that this leftist mentality is what helps people that are poor, which is not true. Okay. All it does is pretty much put them back in bondage, because all it does is make you dependent on a government and not independent and dependent on yourself, which at the end of the day makes you dependent on a government, which makes you dependent on a master. That's what it does. But, you know, listen, we're at Radio Red Pill. We celebrate all life, and among that is Black History Month, and we're very proud of that, and we love that. So I'm going to try to bring you some really cool information on maybe some not so known facts that Black people have done, inventions, stuff like that, that maybe, you know, we don't know about. So I'm going to try to do that. Okay. But at the end of the day, we all bleed red, white, and blue on this channel, and, you know, we're all equal. So listen, going back to the whole way that they vote Democratic, to me, being a Cuban and being a minority, right, it's the same thing as the Cubans that vote for the policies, or even Bernie Sanders. Like, if a Cuban votes for Bernie Sanders after escaping, maybe they didn't go through what I went through, but my parents went through, because I didn't have to escape anything. My parents were here, but I've heard all the stories, and I know all about my grandparents and everything, and all the people that were in jail, and all the things that they went through. My uncle leaving on a boat, and, you know, my dad living as an orphan for years away from his family. Like, all those things happened in my family. So to vote for somebody that agrees with Sanders' policies is just asinine to me. I don't understand it. And just to reiterate that, this guy's Mr. Biden, President Biden, has been in office for less than 2 weeks. In those 2 weeks, 42 executive orders. 42 at this point. He's at 42 executive orders that he's signed. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, that is incredible. And then, you know, what makes it even more incredible is that he went on TV and he made fun of Donald Trump, or actually was being smug and sarcastic, saying, hey, you know, yeah, he's ruling by executive order. Well, you know, I think we live in a democracy. So if we live in a democracy, you know, you wouldn't rule by executive order. You would only do that in a dictatorship. But I like to believe we live in a democracy. Really, Joe? So what happened to the democracy now? Huh? What happened to all the before you were elected? Listen, I'm not gonna cancel fracking. Boom. No more fracking permits. That's it, done. You know, all the things that this guy said before the election, and that I was warning people about, and that everybody was like, oh, come on, don't be. Yes, look, there's already some bill to convert Washington, D.C. to a state. Like, everything, they're going to, I'm telling you, all the stuff, it's all coming. And when you're paying $5 for gas and you can't take a plane trip because, yes, planes use fuel, you know, like, don't come calling me, because I told you that it was going to happen. Think about it. In 8 days, guys signed more executive orders than 15 presidents. Okay. Like, this is, it's crazy. The damage that he's doing to the country, I don't think we're going to be able to get out of it. It's going to be crazy. And what's really happening, in my opinion, what's really happening is Nancy Pelosi's back there drafting. She's back there drafting these things, right? And then she's just putting them all in order. And then she comes and she puts them on his desk and he has to sign them. Why does he have to sign them? Because he was losing in the primaries. The guy, he's the most popular president in the United States, right? The most popular president in history. Go look at the White House Twitter feed. Go look at the White House YouTube. They've had to stop comments because, no, first of all the comments were negative. Second of all, there was only like 10,000 comments, whereas before there were thousands and thousands. Nobody wants to talk to this guy, like, but he got 80 million votes. Okay. All right. Yes, I know he did. So, anyway, look, in my opinion, they cut a deal with the guy, and, you know, right now Pelosi's running everything, and they cut a deal with him and said, listen, Joe, you're about to, you know, you got one foot in the grave and the other one in a banana peel. So you don't got much time left. I'm going to make you president. But if I make you president, you got to do my bidding. You just got to sign whatever the hell I give you. So I'm just going to put a bunch of things in front of you. You sign them and don't worry about it, because it doesn't matter. You're not going to be around to see it anyway because you're already old, right? Don't worry about it. And Kamala, she's going to take care of it afterwards. So they made this deal. They cut a deal. He cut a deal with the devil. He's the 46th president. It's going to come out in the record or in the history books. And that's it. And that's what he's doing, you know? And eventually, I mean, listen, I hope you're enjoying the three masks and your anal swabs there, Cheech. Good job on that vote. But anyway, the one good thing that's happening in all of this, if there is any good thing, is we're going to go right back to Bitcoin, okay? The one good thing that's happening, this is boom. Bitcoin is starting to rise. And if you get in and it's a currency of the future, you may be able to cash out, or better yet, coin out in the future and make a little money due to all this, because there's always a bright side. You just got to find it. So my opinion, crypto is the future. Crypto is where everything's going. It took a long time for me to wrap my brain around it because it's, you know, decentralized. It's really, you don't see it. You know what I mean? It's not like a dollar. At least you know what cash is. You go to the bank, you deposit cash, and it's supposed to be there, even though it's really not there. But crypto is not like that. Crypto is like this elusive thing that nobody knows what the hell it is. And well, I'm going to try to clarify that for you. So I do appreciate it. Look, before we get to the interview, I want to tell you guys, I need you to smash the subscribe button. I need you to smash the like button. I need you to support the cause. It's not easy. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of work. I love bringing you guys content, but I need your help, man. I need your help. Subscribe. And let's create this movement and keep it going. We're getting good traction. I love you guys. Just keep it going. Subscribe. Pass it on. Send it to your friends. You know, go by the website every once in a while. Pick up a mug. Pick up a hat. Well, if you want something, email me, roly@radioredpill.com. But yeah. All right. So anyway, without further ado, we're going to jump right over to Crypto Craig and the interview at the Bitcoin Mansion. I really hope you enjoy it. I really hope you learned something. I'll be right back, all right? What's happening, Miami? What's happening? So, listen, I told you guys when we started Radio Red Pill, we're going to be doing all kinds of stuff, especially having to do with Miami. So, right now, we are at the famous Bitcoin Mansion, and we are here with Craig Tortolani, who usually calls himself Crypto Craig, or he's known as Crypto Craig, Crypto Craig 247 on Instagram and social media. He's from Rhode Island, but he is in the 305 today. That means he's in my territory, and that means we're going to talk to him about crypto. We're going to learn whatever the hell today. Yeah, we're going to learn. Listen, we're going to learn. I am a crypto moron, okay, but I like it. All right, so, and he is a crypto genius, and when you put us together, we make this fantastic milkshake of knowledge. That is
genius is a strong word, but we're going to make something work. We'll leave with something.
You know? Right, here we go. So, okay, so listen, guys, I took the liberty of asking a bunch of friends and stuff for questions, and I posted it. If you guys asked questions, great. If you didn't, sorry.
He's good like that.
Yeah. So, but we're gonna ask him questions, and the first thing I want to know is why Bitcoin and Ethereum instead of the US dollar, gold? Where's the value? Why?
Yeah, so I'll start with just Bitcoin, then we'll kind of like tackle Ethereum. But Bitcoin is the single greatest investment in the history of time. Like, it's the greatest performing asset in the history of time. So just like let that sink in, okay? That would be enough to get me to be like, okay, what is it? But I mean, it's the only currency that's ever been created in our lifetimes. That's another, like, okay, maybe that's I should
true.
Learn about this.
That is true.
It started, what, January 3rd, 2009. So well, we're only 12 years into this
experiment.
There's
some white powder currencies that I've seen around here, but we're not talking about that. Okay, I'm sorry, guys. We're going to get back.
Yeah, we talk about, you could trade goats if you really want to, you know, whatever you got, we'll take it. Bitcoin preferably, but, so I think it's probably the biggest invention in my lifetime, maybe of like a generation, because for the first time, we're actually digitizing money. Like, we're actually bringing together an asset that's completely finite, like at least with gold. So I like to look at Bitcoin as gold 2.0.
Right.
So why do people have gold? Really as a storage of value, because they're afraid of what's going on with the US dollar. They use it as a hedge as against the US dollar. That's why they buy gold, silver, you know, different assets like that.
Sure.
And so it's very much like gold, except it's better. Why? Because it's cheaper to ship. It's cheaper to store. You don't have to get a vault like you do with, you know, to store all your gold in. It's way easier.
You don't have to mine it.
Yeah, and it's way easier to send. It's faster. And then most importantly, and this is like the main takeaway, is it's finite. So there will never be more than 21 million Bitcoin. So when I heard this for the first time, you know, I was like, it sounds like a Harry Potter movie. It really does. Like some guy made up some mythical internet currency that like is only used to buy drugs online and all this good stuff. But that's how it says. So I was 40 hours into YouTube. I was at a wine and cheese party. And my buddy told me about Bitcoin mining. And I'm like, I had no interest in the wine or the cheese.
Yeah.
I literally went back in. 40 hours into YouTube, I'm like, dude, what is going on? And I didn't know who else to call about it, but this guy understood. Shout out Shield. And so he was telling me about it. I'm like, this is unbelievable. So I'm like, this is going to change the world. I was calling about it. Like, I got it right away. And that's why I dove so deep into it. Because I understand we've never in our lives had an asset that's completely finite. Like, if you look at gold, they mine more gold every single day.
That's they
mine
and more they gold find every it. Year. And you don't know where you're not going to find more Bitcoin.
And Elon Musk says he's going to go mine, you know, gold on Mars. If he does that, let's just say he finds twice as much, so all of a sudden your gold is worth half unless the demand increases. So I'm a finance major. I didn't learn a damn thing in school. I learned everything on YouTube and through paid courses. But I mean, there's never been an asset in our lives that's completely finite that's been on a chart. And so if you understand supply and demand, I mean, if the demand goes up and the supply is locked, it's never going to be more than 21 million Bitcoin. As demand increases, as you're seeing it,
the
value increases.
Absolutely.
So that's how I saw
it's got
it.
No
I was
other
like,
way
I
to
gotta
go.
Be involved.
That makes sense. That makes sense to me. I hope it makes sense to everybody here. So, all right. So let's say I buy Bitcoin, or let's say I buy a portion of Bitcoin because I can't afford a damn Bitcoin. So let's say I buy a portion of Bitcoin, right? Or a portion of Ethereum. How long should I hold the coin? Everybody says buy and hold, fire and forget.
Yeah.
How long should I hold? What is the typical thing? And well, first answer that, I'm going to there's a second part to that question, but go ahead. How long should I hold a coin?
So that's a good question. But I like to, first of all, say I'm not a financial advisor. I am not your financial advisor. Please talk to whoever you need to about investing. Every investment is inherently, volatile.
I'm not responsible
you are at risk. Yeah,
for anything hacked. You do with your money.
I've been hacked. It doesn't mean the network's been hacked, but it means, I left my bank vault open. So there's some stuff to learn, and you will have to learn it eventually, so you might as well learn it today. But so I would say that I'm a trader, right? So I believe in Bitcoin so much, I'm trying to trade to go get more Bitcoin. So I have three capital buckets. So I'm not telling you guys what to do. This is just how I do it. I have three capital buckets, is what I call it. So I have my long-term holding, which I would never touch. I would never sell unless we hit maybe $1 million a coin, which I believe that will happen in my lifetime. Yeah, so that's like one bucket. I'm trying to feed that bucket because I believe in it so much. Mm-hmm. And then the second bucket is my swing trading. So like, for example, I bought some at $4,000.
Right.
And then I sold a little bit at 20. I sold a little bit at 30.
Yeah,
I sold a little bit at 40 and bought back at 30. So that's where I'm swing trading to gain a little bit more Bitcoin. But I might have made four trades in that account last year.
Right.
So that's my like long-term swing trading. I might hold on to that for a year, two years.
Okay.
And then I have my day trading stuff. And that is a casino. 99% of day traders lose money in cryptocurrency. If someone's telling you otherwise, they're either lying to you or they just don't know what's going on and they think they're up, but they're probably down in dollar value. So beware of who you listen to. But there's a ton of money to be made. And if you're a real trader, well, you don't care if things are going up or down. You just care about volatility. You want it going up and down.
You want movement. It's like a stock, kind of. There's volatility.
Very much so.
You go pre-market. You find what's happening pre-market. You see what stocks are moving that day. And then you jump in the market. It doesn't matter if it's going up or down. You're either short or you figure out what's going to happen. You find the volatile stocks and you move. Same thing works in crypto.
Yeah. So I have my three accounts. So I have like my long-term stuff I don't want to touch. I have my midterm stuff that if it skyrocketed to $100,000 today, would I sell a little bit? Absolutely. I take some profits.
Of course.
Only to buy it back cheaper. And then I have my day trading stuff, which is, you know, that's me just trying to build my Bitcoin position. So that's how I do it. If you're just getting started, you know, look at yourself as an investor and maybe a trader, right? So if it goes up 100% in a day, should you sell a bit? Probably, yeah. But, you know, also look at yourself as an investor as well. And if you're investing, just, I don't care. I tell people this all the time. I don't care if it's $10 a week. You know, Bitcoin might look expensive to you. I don't care if it's $10 a day. I don't care if it's $10 a year. Have some kind of plan to acquire at least one Bitcoin, because I think your future family will thank you.
I think you're right. I think you're right. So the second part of this question, it kind of goes in there. It's the hypothetical of digital currency versus something tangible. And we've talked about this off camera, that I'm a person. Yeah, I'm a person that...
We're going to get him over the tangibility. Yeah, do it today.
I love to hold a gold coin. I love to hold cash. Like, I like to see the money. But everything is going... I'm a dinosaur at this point. everything is going towards something that's digital. So what would be the hypothetical if Bitcoin replaces cash as a world currency? And what is the probability versus possibility?
That's what we were talking about. And so you picked that up.
Of course, bro. I'm a smart guy.
This guy's good. This guy's good.
Smart guy.
Yeah, so I always look at things, especially as a trader mentality, like, what is the possibility of this happening? And then what's the probability of this happening? Is it possible that Bitcoin becomes the world reserve currency? 100%, yes, it's possible. Is it probable? You know, I'd say maybe 20 to 30%. It has a legitimate chance of beating the US dollar. Like, think about it. If you're Russia trading with Saudi Arabia for oil, why would you use the petrodollar? Why would you use the US dollar? Why? Because we're the world reserve currency. But why do they do that? Because we've controlled things for so long. But because we're losing power, and because of the complete incompetence of the US government, and because they have their money just printing out of the wazoo, you know, that's not good. And people are starting to lose faith in that system. So where do they go to? You know, what are you going to use? Why wouldn't they use their own currency to trade? So Bitcoin actually has a legit chance of being that. And
that's
so I tell people, if you go to, you know, you go to another country or you go to Mexico, you got to get pesos to play in that game.
Correct.
If you want to go to the internet, you should get some Bitcoin, because that's the currency of the internet.
That's true. That's true too. And more people are accepting it.
And I also think of it like this. Like, people are like, oh, it's not tangible, I can't touch it. Like, I can touch dollars. I'm like, you understand that only 1% of dollars actually exists, like in print form or a coin form? 99% are just ones and zeros in a computer in your bank.
I know, like, but I still think of Tony Montana and the, you know, I'm still thinking though, because I'm from Miami.
We're in Miami.
I like to see the cash, and you know, it's kind of hard to go. Kind of hard to go to Tootsie's and go, hey, here's some Bitcoin, baby. Here we go. You know, you can't make it rain Bitcoin.
You can't
buy tokens. Maybe
I've mistakenly tried. Yeah.
Yeah. It cost you a lot more.
Rained
than you
a little too
to.
Hard that day.
It cost him a lot more than he wanted to. All right. So fine. All right. So that's that. So then, leading into the next thing is, why crypto over gold and silver? I mean, is it good to diversify in stocks? I come from a stock background. I like stocks and bonds, and I like options. And I know you diversify your portfolio. You don't put all your money in Apple, even though Apple's kicking ass right now.
No way.
You want to diversify. I like to buy gold. I like to buy silver. I like to buy something tangible. So should you diversify, in your opinion? I know everybody's going to make their own decision.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, do you think it would be worth it? Do you think that it will have an effect on gold or silver if it does, let's say, become the world currency? What do you think will happen with those markets?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think that all the markets and that asset are going to go up. I think compared to the US dollar, like, it's not so much that all these companies are performing well in the stock market right now. Like, for example, AMC is up, what, 100% today?
Yeah.
You think everyone's going to the movies during a pandemic? No. You know, are they putting up crazy popcorn sales from last month? No, they're not.
It's because Maverick's coming out.
Yeah, well, that's probably
it. See, that's what it is. Cruise effect, baby.
But it's because that, compared to the dollar, which they keep printing more of, is becoming worth less. So it's not so much that everything's, like, way more valuable and Bitcoin's exploding and gold is going, breaking all-time highs. It's that the dollar that they compare it to is becoming worth less.
That's true.
And so that's really, really important to think
about.
That's
a great point.
So I personally, like, I love gold. I love silver. I don't love silver as much, but I love gold. I love silver. I like precious metals. I like a hedge against the U.S. dollars. And I also love crypto. And I love mainly Bitcoin, then, you know, another basket of currencies as well.
Sure.
You know, no one knows how it's going to shake out.
That's right.
But I like sticking with the biggest horse. But and I like to bet on my winners, man. Don't go out picking losers thinking they're going to catch up. Bet on your winners, you know? Bet on your Elon Musks of the world. They win.
Yeah,
But let's just say I had a diverse portfolio of stocks, crypto, gold, silver, some precious metals.
Sure.
My Bitcoin position, my crypto has outgained the others so much.
Absolutely.
That now I'm not balanced. So I'm not as diversified. I'm crypto heavy.
Yeah, you'd be 70% crypto. Yeah. Everything else would bundle up, or you think 80-90%?
So I think, you know, especially from an institutional standpoint, I think that's what we're going to start seeing. I mean, we got, what, $17 trillion in, like, pension funds and 401ks and stuff like that. And the on-ramps for that to come into the space is being built right now. I mean,
that's
you see
right.
it every day. There's
that's
big
right.
companies like MicroStrategy spending $600 million on Bitcoin.
On Bitcoin.
Yeah, and it's just a strategy for the company for their like the assets on their book, like we think it's smart to take 1% of our cash
right.
and to buy some Bitcoin because we're seeing the trends, we see right. what's going on.
So, and Bitcoin's going to be the coin that accepts that because only Bitcoin can absorb that kind of a hit. No other coin can absorb liquidity. A 600 million, right, there isn't.
There's not enough liquidity. And liquidity just means enough money in it. Right now, Bitcoin is at like 5% of the market cap of gold. So think about it like that. What if it took 100% of gold? That would make it like, you know, a $9 trillion market cap, which brings us to like a $275,000 Bitcoin roughly,
right.
which is insane. So it's you start insane. To frame it
but
different ways.
But it's going to head that way. Eventually, well, maybe not that much, but it's heading
hopefully,
that direction.
Hopefully, I haven't checked my phone. Maybe we're there now.
AMC shot up. Why not? You know. But yeah, I totally understand that. That obviously gives us a value in Bitcoin. So then what, you know, when we go back to Ethereum, which are the two main coins for the novice crypto guy,
yeah.
you're probably going to go into Coinbase, which is an app.
Which and if, I use.
Yeah, which and if you have any that you suggest.
They're going public too, so keep an eye on that.
That's what I was about to tell you. They're going to go public. They're, you know, somewhat regulated. Your money goes in there. They attach to your bank. You can buy crypto right direct there. You can buy Bitcoin. You can buy Ethereum. You can buy Litecoin. You can buy a few of the bigger coins, right? Yeah. You could buy Ripple, but now Ripple.
Yeah, they're getting more and more projects.
Ripple got ripped and now it's coming back.
That's
I don't know
what's happening. That's a whole
right, we're not going to talk altcoins today. We're talking main Bitcoin. But
talk a little Ethereum. That's all right.
Talking Ethereum and Bitcoin. Do you recommend Coinbase? Do you like some other? How would somebody like Joe Schmo never bought a crypto coin in his life?
Yeah.
Should he open a Coinbase account? Should he go into Gemini?
The easiest way is to set up a Coinbase or a Gemini account, link it up to your bank account the same way you would do a PayPal or a Venmo account, and start buying that way. They even have systems where you can set it to automatic buys. I know a lot of people that have been in crypto that's like the monopoly of the system now. But for the average person, that is the easiest way to get involved and to start. And I always say, like, dip your toe in the water.
People sure, put $50 a week or $50 a month, whatever the hell you
10
can.
$10 in. Just get in the game.
Just get in the game.
Start learning a little bit.
Just get in the game. You're right. And talking about Gemini, the advantages to, like, Gemini is the Winklevoss brothers, right?
The Winklevoss twins.
So they're pretty well established. They got some money, right? Yeah. These guys.
They were very early investors.
They're not doing as well as you and I, but they're doing well.
Yeah.
So these guys created this Gemini.
There's two of them.
You know? Right. There's two. That's right.
There's two of you. That's right.
I'd be really.
We had a million followers today.
So Gemini is another good one. And Coinbase is another good one. Is there anything else? Like any other?
Yeah. If you're in a state that permits it in the United States, Binance US.
US.
You know, something I used to use years ago. And then they, you know, some regulations came in. And it's kind of like a gray area. Like right now, the regulations being laid out. And so that's why you have a lot of institutional money and interest on the sidelines, but these institutions don't get in to lose money. So, like, they're waiting on the rules so we can have the rules so we can get in and then go win the game. But we can't win the game unless we know the rules.
Sure.
So that's all happening, like, right before our eyes. Because Goldman Sachs is not going to lose money. Like, I'm telling you right now.
No, they have to get involved. It's kind of like the marijuana game. It's the same thing, right? Everybody wants it to be legal, but it's a slow process because the government doesn't want to lose money on it, right? Nobody wants to lose money on and everybody wants to smoke it. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you just got to get the regulation right. With crypto, the biggest question that I get by far on crypto is, if I have crypto, do I get taxed on it? How do I get my money out of crypto? If I need it and I want to go buy a car and I can't buy a Honda with crypto because, you know, Lehman Honda doesn't accept crypto coin.
So
can I buy a car with crypto?
Absolutely. So there's companies like, for example, like CoinZoom, for example, that have like a crypto debit card. Like I've had a crypto debit card that I can go spend my Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum or US dollars. It's like a bank account. And when I swipe it, it instantly exchanges that Bitcoin for dollars on that exchange.
Is it taxed?
It's through Visa. Yeah, that would be a taxable event.
It's taxable.
So it's treated as land in the United States right now. They're not quite sure how to handle it. It'll eventually just turn into like the way they treat stocks or gold or silver. But in short, and again, check with your tax advisor. This is not tax advice. But, you know, if you buy the asset and you sell it in less than a year, you're subject to short-term capital gains, which is higher than long-term capital gains if you hold it for over a year. So keep that in mind. And also, if you buy Bitcoin and then spend it, that's counting as selling it because they don't know where it's going. They just know that it left your account.
Right. So it's a sale. So whatever the difference was, you're going to pay a tax.
Yeah, you bought and now you sold. You might not look at it as selling, but when you spend your Bitcoin, you're selling your Bitcoin.
All right. So then we go back to the value in Bitcoin is in the fact that you can earn money much more than on the US dollar, for sure.
It's inherently deflationary. I mean, you want to put your money, like 78% of all US dollars in creation have been printed during the last 10 years,
created,
which is insane. That means your dollar is worth that much less.
Right.
And so that's inflationary. That's heavy inflation. And here we're talking about a deflationary currency that over time less and less is produced, and it's finite. There will only ever be 21 million.
Right. So, right. So when a big
you look
company
at supply
buys,
and demand, we're not messing right. with the supply here. That's they correct. Keep pumping the supply. So
right. So all these big companies buying $600 million, you know, dollars worth of Bitcoin, whether it's 1% or 10% of their portfolio, they're taking a big chunk out of the finite number of Bitcoin. And when that happens, you now either they have to sell it to you, which they're not going to do because they're holding it as an asset, or your Bitcoin just went up in value and now you can sell it and make money. For the people that don't understand how the macroeconomical side of that works, that's how it works. You know, if I have 10 cheeseburgers and he comes and he buys 7 cheeseburgers, I got 3 cheeseburgers. Those 3 cheeseburgers are gold, baby.
And we'll only make it, and the grill is closed.
That's it. Grill's closed. We're out of beef and it's done, and the Biden tax cuts have hit us. We're done, okay? So now, or the increases have hit us. So now those 3 cheeseburgers, those are gold. Buddy, you touch those cheeseburgers, it's done, or you're going to pay me $150 per cheeseburger.
And
that's
how, and they don't go bad.
Yeah, and they don't go bad. That's right, and they're pretty, and they're kind of cool, and they have a real crypto type.
They got
a cool wallet type thing. It's actually pretty cool, guys. I mean, it's different. It's different if you're a traditional person, but like traditionally versed in economics, it's different. It really took a complete mind overhaul for me to understand this, because we grew up in my generation. You guys know already on my channel, I'm 44. So I'm not an old geezer, but I grew up on, you know, dollars. You know what I mean? There was no such thing as a crypto coin. There was no such thing as an iPhone. Okay. Like, all these things are new things that have changed the interface of how we communicate with our phones is now through touch, and it takes a picture of you. None of that existed. So crypto has taken the dollar and basically modernized it for the younger generation. And it's the future. It's not going to go back to paper dollars that can get printed the way that the US Mint does. It's going to stay in something like this, and the value of something finite. When he told me that, off, it was like a light bulb going off in the back of my head. I'm like, holy shit, now I get it. Yeah. Now I understand why Bitcoin is worth 30, because I couldn't understand anything. Yeah. That I can't see being worth $30,000.
I think that's cheap.
Didn't make any sense. But when you understand that there can't be any more of it, then you say, oh, that's why people see this value.
It's like
and that's
a rare
why
Pokemon.
The value
is, you know
it's exactly like a rare
Pokemon.
I got
to get them all.
You got to get them all. Stay away from my cheeseburgers, Craig. All right. So now couple quick questions to wrap it up.
Yeah.
What are the effects on global politics? I have a political podcast.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a tough, broad question.
Yeah.
But what are the effects in your mind? And you're not the end all be all. You don't know. You're not the all seeing eye. But you have your opinion, and you've been in the market sector
Definitely.
Long enough so that your opinion matters, and it should matter to the people. What do you think? What do you think is happening on the political spectrum that is going to move things either way?
Yeah, I think, I mean, politics, I'm not big into politics, but obviously it doesn't matter whether you're Democrat, Republican, what you believe, who you voted for, it doesn't matter, but it affects monetary policy.
Yeah,
monetary
money's
policy
money.
Is what is most important.
Yep.
Right now, they have interest rates set at zero. It's going to be that way for the next 2 years at least.
Okay.
And with no plans for an increase. And they have their foot on the gas printing money with more stimulus packages to come, which means the dollar is going to be worth less and less and less. So I think to tie it all together, it's the complete incompetence of the U.S. government.
Yep.
And when you lose faith in your government, you lose faith in your system. They're the system that's printing the money, which is what we trust. We trust the government to back this money by something, by some promise. That promise is slowly being broken and being eroded. And because of that, people are looking to something like an alternative, which is traditionally gold or silver, but now we have a whole
different asset class. It's an asset.
And so that's how I think politics totally affects it, especially as the rest of the world loses faith in the United States.
Guys, this is huge. What he's talking about is huge. It's not, again, I hate it when people say conspiracy theories, okay? We don't deal in conspiracy theories on Radio Red Pill. At least I don't. But I do deal
in... I love a good conspiracy theory.
Yeah, right. I deal in critical thinking, right? So anything that is critical of anyone is a conspiracy. And if it's a theory because it hasn't been proven, then it's a fucking conspiracy theory, okay? But I don't deal with conspiracy theories. But I will tell you one thing. What he just said, if you think about it, why are the Chinese spending three or four times the amount of money buying land in middle America right now? Why? Could it be that they're going to dump the dollar? You realize that we owe them a crap ton of money, guys.
Quite a bit.
And so we're printing money super fast.
We got a fat bar tab.
We got a fat bar tab, buddy, and they're about to kick us out. We're about to get a bunch of little freaking kung fu, and we're going to get kicked.
Call an Uber.
Yeah. So think about it, guys. Think about it on the macro scale. I know that a lot of us, we don't think about it this way, but if they're buying land, they're buying assets in the United States. What happened to a lot of people when the Great Depression happened, the people that survived it, okay? And this is going back to history. You guys, by this time, know I'm kind of a history buff. What happened was that the people that bought assets, they survived because they had something worth something. When the dollar went down and it wiped out all the people that had their money in the currency, they got wiped out.
Yeah.
But the people that had their value in assets, that sustained, that was there. So if you're looking at Bitcoin as anything, you can look at it as an asset that's finite, that's not going anywhere. If anything, it'll get regulated, but it's not going
to
disappear.
Yeah, I want to add one thing just to top it off. As far as like politics go and like being political.
Sure.
At the end of the day, you're in the United States. The government can come seize your car. They can take your land. They can take your dollars. Yeah. They can take your gold. They can take your silver.
Freeze your bank
account. If you remember your password and you remember your private keys in here, they cannot seize your Bitcoin. It's unconfiscatable. And that's another property that I just love it so much more.
That's a great point. I'm sold. I'm buying it right now. Let's do it. No, I'm sold, man. So listen, guys, I hope you guys are. That's all the questions that I had. I mean, if anybody, if you have anything you want to share that we didn't talk about on this segment, I'm sure we're going
to
do another one.
Yeah, I would just say to everybody, like, I made a lot of money in this space, and then I lost it, a lot of it, you know, being stupid and, you know, not being smart enough with how to secure it. Now, times have gotten easier over time. You know, the internet was hard to use early on, and then it got easier and easier and easier. This will get easier, but the opportunity is when it's not that easy.
That's right.
And that's when you need to learn. And I also think that trading, like, people aren't going back to their jobs at work. I'm sorry. A lot of these jobs aren't coming back. Technology is wiping out a ton of different industries.
Yep.
Things are changing so fast that to have trading as a skill, I believe, is so incredibly important. Even if you're just a swing trader, maybe you make two trades a year, but putting your money in a traditional like S&P and letting it grow at 4% a year to 10% a year, that's going to change because they're printing so much money that even if that percentage goes up, the amount that they're printing is faster, so your dollars are worth less. So you have to find some way to beat that number. You have to find some way to beat the system. That's going to be your new broke, is just leaving it in the stock market and letting it go.
Yeah.
That's going to be the new broke. So having a skill where you can double up, triple up, quadruple up, make 50%, make 15%, whatever, just to beat
generate wealth.
You got to beat that average.
Yeah.
And so learning how to trade has been one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
I've become obsessed with it, you know, and it really is. I love it. I'm stepping away to work on a couple other projects now, which is really to just go fund so that I can go trade more.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I have
we'll
some
talk
goals
about
in
those in the future. You know, we'll definitely, you know, if you'll have me if I'll have you.
Of course. Yeah, I'll we'll be starting a channel and everything too. We've just been pretty busy. But
awesome.
Learning how to trade is an invaluable skill that will never go away. Like, there's a lot of businesses that are like recession proof. But like my dad owns a hair salon, like he wasn't pandemic proof.
Yeah,
like, to have a business that's pandemic proof.
Unless you did Nancy Pelosi's hair, and then she was fine.
Yeah, that was more of a perm blood. So I mean, to have this skill that you can take with you anywhere, from any phone, from any laptop, that you can look at any chart, there's never going to be a time that we can't trade asset for another asset. And so to learn that, to learn the psychology behind it, to learn how to profit off that from anywhere, at any time, I think is one of the most valuable skills you ever have, even if it takes you 20 years to learn.
Yep, that's a great point.
Don't
sleep on trading. You know, learn to generate wealth. You're not going to become wealthy on a paycheck. You're going to sustain yourself on a paycheck. You can become wealthy. Learning to trade and making your money work for you. You know, when I grew up, I remember my mom put my money in a bank account. She told me, hey, you're going to earn interest. And I was making like 5 cents a month.
That's
I would get happy.
Bad.
I'm like, hey, I got
more than
five
my
cents, right? So, you know, you can't generate wealth, guys. We have to start thinking about our lives as not just sustenance, and not waiting for handouts or anything. You got to generate your own wealth, and that's going to give you financial stability. And like you said, your family's going to thank you for it later. So, you know, me being in this podcast space, I just wanted to bring that to you guys. I know it's different than the political stuff that we normally talk about, but it's important, and I want to help you out. And being in Miami, I told you, bro, you're in my hood, so you're gonna have to disclose some information. We will be back, Craig. You're gonna come back, right?
Of course.
All right, brother. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you so much.
We'll
see you soon, man. Thanks.
All right. So there you have it. Listen, I hope that was a good interview. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned something. Craig's a great guy. You can follow him at CryptoCraig247. You can follow him, look for him on Facebook, CryptoCraig, okay? And, you know, he knows a lot. Send him a message. Tell him you saw him at Radio Red Pill. You wanted to find something out. Again, it's not investment advice. I'm not telling you to go put all your money and all your savings and you're going to call me and go, oh my God, Bitcoin went down. I'm not giving you investment advice. I'm giving you some common sense information so you can understand the crypto space and then make your own educated decisions, okay? Don't do anything based on anything that you heard today. Research, do your thing, And you know, and hopefully it'll go well for you guys. Be smart, okay? Be smart. What I can tell you from my perspective is, well, one, if you have any questions or comments, you know, leave them in the comment section. I always get back to you. Send me an email, like I said, roly@radioredpill.com. But what I can tell you is it's better to invest your money than it is to spend it. So if you, some people, like, for example, if you buy a Rolex, okay, you're spending it, but you're also investing it. Because if you buy a Rolex, it's still a Rolex. It's still, it holds its value. You can sell it again if you need to. So it's kind of an investment. That's a good expense. Okay. Bad expense is spending $2,000 a week on food. Not good. The food's not coming back. Eat less or eat less expensive. Take the extra money. Put a little bit into Bitcoin. Put a little bit into some investment, whatever you like, if you like stocks or whatever. But invest it, because little by little, it grows. And 2 or 3 years from now, they'll go like this. And you'll have some money there that you didn't know you were going to have. And hopefully you won't need to spend it on any emergency. But if you do, you'll have the money there. Don't depend on the government to save your ass. Okay. Do what you can to make your money and be smart with it. And so, listen, we have a really cool episode coming up. It's with former Congressman Dennis Ross. He's a businessman, a patriot. He's going to come on. It's our first high level interview with a high level, political figure, and he's been on BillO'Reilly.com. He's a great guy. I've spoken with him a couple times already. He's gonna come on hopefully in the next episode, maybe one after that, but keep a lookout for that. Stay tuned. You guys that are out there keeping the streets safe, you know that I always pull for you guys. Make sure that you stay safe. I don't want anybody to get hurt. We're gonna be back soon. I will probably drop next week, but I hope you learned something today. I hope you enjoyed the show. I know it wasn't too long, but it was informative, guys. I love you. Stay strong, stay safe, and we'll see you guys next week. Candela!